Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Amen. Well, good morning. If you're not wound up yet, I can't help you. What Mike was mentioning was Lana Vasquez and Life Impact International, which is the... I actually received a message from them, or a message on their Facebook this morning. It's one of the areas where we give to. And so Life Impact International, and she has a picture on there of a gentleman holding some papers. And so you can know that your giving has been part of this. I know last week I went over where we give and how much we've given and all that good stuff as far as out of the church. The church here, when finances come in here, we take 10% of that and we give it out. We sow it into different ministries. That's what we do. Because the Bible says that you reap whatever you sow, you know? So just common sense in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I better sow something because I'd like to reap something, you know what I mean? So, and sometimes people are confused about that. They think, well, no, that's not how it works. No, that's exactly how it works. If you study it out in the scripture, you'll find it, and there'll be a time where we go over that as far as giving and receiving and things like that. And there is a principle there in the Bible that cannot be denied, and when it's obeyed, God honors his word. The scripture says that God is known as faithful. Which means he's not a liar. He does what he said he would do. And you know, he's even faithful to people that could care less about him, don't even believe in him. You say, how do you know that? Because they have heartbeats today. You know what I mean? You know, there are atheists on the earth that are absolutely railing against God, and God still gives them heartbeats because he wants to give them an opportunity to see him before they get out of this earth. So anyway, she wrote this post on Facebook. Which you can find us on Facebook as well if you want. But it says this. It says, why is this picture important? Because she says, because today I got a word and an invitation letter that states that Life Impact Thailand Foundation has been one of five organizations in the whole country chosen to network with the Protection Committee for ASEAN, or the Southeast Asia Alliance, to present the solutions and represent at-risk children problems on our border. Did I mention this will be live on Thai TV? She says, please pray for us all. It will go down on the 28th. So if you want to be praying for that, please do. She says this is a game changer for the exploited and trafficked children on our border. Being a voice for the voiceless is what she said. So that was some of what Mike was mentioning, and so I wanted to mention that to you before we get into the message today, that the money is not just going in a hole somewhere, okay? We don't have a coffee can buried out back here. We're stuffing it all in there. Don't go look for the coffee can. It's not there, okay? All right? But we're using finances to do ministry here, of course. We have rent for the facility and different things like that. And but the money is going out, and it's affecting people all over the world. So this is the interesting thing about it, and this is something that took me years to understand, but let me help just throw a seed in your mind on this, or a thought this direction. Your money is leaving here, and it's going all the way to Thailand to minister to trafficked kids, even though you can't go there. Because I know if you were there, you'd rescue those kids too, right? I mean, if you see a kid in your neighborhood that's in trouble, you don't just... You know, oh, that kid, look at that kid, all by himself, out there in the middle of the street playing. No, you go get the kid. Well, you are doing that when you give to missionaries. And so I heard one guy say it this way, if you're not going to be able to go, then you pay for somebody to go. That's how we do it. And you give that opportunity to them to be able to minister. And then not only that, that money has eternal consequence. You say, what do you mean by that? That money never dies. God remembers that forever. A lot of times we think very narrow. And it's not wrong to think naturally, because we think from Monday to Friday, or Monday to Sunday, or we think from April to May, you know what I mean? Or June to July. You know how God thinks? I started it there, and there's where it's going to end. His perspective is huge. Really, if you thought about it, it'd be like, have you ever been to a parade? You ever been to a very cool parade in Montana? No, you haven't. Don't raise your hand. You've never been to a cool parade. No, I'm just kidding. You've been to a parade, though. Nothing like maybe in New York, but you've been to one. We've gone to the military or the 4th of July parade that happens in Red Lodge sometimes, and they're marching down the thing, and you're standing in the middle of that parade. And what are you seeing? Well, you can see the people across from you. You can see what's right in front of you. Have you ever had emergency vehicles in the parade and you can hear them coming, but you can't see them yet? Well, that's your perspective. You're in my perspective from where we are right now on earth. But God's perspective is he's on top of the building above the parade. He knows where it starts and he knows who's coming next and he knows where it ends and where they're all going to stop at the end. And so that's how God sees things. So what we get to do is by faith, we get to partner with him in that. You know, last week I talked about, or maybe it was a couple of weeks ago, but we talked about the two girls that are just tested into their high school in a second language, and they got in the top, I don't know what it was, 150, whatever. They got in, they got born again, they got saved, they received Jesus. And now they want to go to school to be lawyers. Your money had a part to do with that. That's valuable. And God doesn't just look at that and go, oh, isn't that nice? Look, they're sharing. No, it's marked down in heaven. He remembers it, and it comes before him as an offering, as worship to him. So it's important to think that way. Just know that we have seed in the ground. So that's good. How many know if you're going to have corn, you got to plant a corn seed? I know that's deep, but that's how simple spiritual things are. You know what I mean? The Bible says that the common people heard Jesus preach and they heard him gladly. Do you know what the common people were in his day? Well, let's put it this way. They couldn't read and write. They heard Jesus teach. You know, people say, that guy, you know, used Greek and Hebrew and every other thing, you know. And so they get confused. But Jesus taught in such a way that everyday people go, yeah, that makes sense. You know, it was a wonder the religious people were irritated with Jesus. They talked so far above people they couldn't even understand. But Jesus just heard, Jesus just taught in such a way, you know, he said things like, unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, it won't produce a crop, it won't grow. They knew that because they plant seeds and it dies and then it comes up. You know what I mean? It was simple things. He used phrases like this. You can see the weather when it's going to change. That's a sermon illustration for Jesus. It's not a PowerPoint. He didn't have PowerPoints. You know what I mean? It was a sermon illustration. He would do simple things like, somebody bring me a couple of fish and some bread. Well, what's the blessing of the Lord like? Well, let's bless this and see what happens. And then he'd bless it, and what happened? Multiplication. He used simple things like, throw your net on the other side of the boat. Yeah, but Lord, we've been fishing all night long. It doesn't really matter what you think. He's God. Throw your net on the other side of the boat. And then what? They'd haul in so much that their boat was sinking. He used simple things for people to understand, practical things. It wasn't hard for them. And you say, can you prove that another way? Yeah, children loved him. You know? Do you think Jesus walked around with thee, thou, thus, thouest? You know, King James, Elizabethan English. Can you imagine kids looking at you? Thou art a blessed child. Thou art so handsome, if. No. They ran up. They wanted to sit on his lap. Why? Because Jesus was simple. He interacted with them. And yet, he's the Son of God. You know what I mean? So, I don't know why I got off on all that. But nonetheless, it's good. So keep it simple with your kids. There, we wrapped it up. All right, we're going to start a new series this morning. We're kind of wild this morning, aren't we? Are we? Okay, we get ourselves together. We're supposed to be professional around here. We're going to start a new series. If you're taking notes, I titled this series called Drawing Near. And if you wanted to subtitle that, it would be very simply, learning to worship your Father, or learning to worship God. There are four subjects that we are going over. And we already have gone through three of them. So you say, well, I didn't get to hear the first three. You can go to the website and download them for free. And listen to them online or download them, up to you. Makes no difference. But if you go to the website, you say, where's the website? It's on a bulletin. If you didn't get a bulletin when you came in, you can grab one on the way out. But at the bottom of the page is our website, so go visit there. If you need to contact us, there's contact information. There's also our Bible reading schedule, and then also to mark your calendars for Mother's Day coming up, and then we're going to do a barbecue at my house on the 31st of May. You say, how are we going to fit all the people? I got a big yard. I got a really big yard. So we want to have everybody over to our house for a barbecue on the 31st. If you want to mark that down, we're going to have some fun and just hang out. I have a play set at the house and a trampoline and, you know, all that stuff, so the kids will have fun too. So I don't have a hot tub, though. Maybe I should have Mike bring the hot tub once he gets the mud out of it. Let's, if you want to open to James chapter 1 this morning, and we'll begin there. At the end of the service today, we're going to worship the Lord by taking communion. This is something that I have wanted to do for a long time, but every the second to last week of every Sunday, we will be doing communion here at the church. So we're going to do communion once a month. So you can, if you want to, you can check it on the website too, if you forget about it or you want to look there. But we're going to do it the second to last Sunday. So obviously there are 5 weeks in some months, so it would be the fourth week on those. But mostly it'll be the third week of the month. So we're going to take communion at the end of the service, so we're going to have to kind of barrel through this here. But you can listen fast, right? All right. I want to begin a new series this morning. And again, if you want to entitle it, you can entitle it Drawing Near, Learning to Worship Your Father or God. We believe, one of the things that we believe here at Faith Family Church, if you look at the core beliefs, we believe that the Word of God is the product, that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, the product of holy men of old who spoke and wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Scripture is inspired by God. The New Covenant, as recorded in the New Testament, we accept as the infallible guide in matters pertaining to conduct and doctrine. Now, if you want to see the scriptures for that, you go to the website and you can check it out, because our beliefs are clearly put on there. But that's one of the things that we do. So everything that the Bible has to say on a subject, we take seriously. We see the scripture as God speaking directly to us. Okay? Now, I was at work a few days ago. I do work. And so I was at work a few days ago, and I was talking to a gentleman. And what I will do is I have the Bible on audio. I have my iPod, I have it on audio. So I'll pick certain parts of, or either whole books or chapters of the Bible, and I'll listen to them, because that's what I like to do. And I'm looking for answers. I'm constantly looking for answers, and my answers are in the Bible. So I got to find them in there. So I'll listen to him during the day. And while I'm listening to him, I'm harassing the guys that are with me by just saying the random scriptures that are going in, you know, into my head, you know, and I'm going, listen to what Paul said, you know, and I'll say it out loud. And the guys that I work with are Christian guys, so I'm not harassing them too much. But anyway, and I'm saying to him, and finally one of the guys looked at me and he goes, you know, no, this was the next day. He said to me, you know, I've made up my mind that that everything I read that Paul wrote, I'm going to take with a grain of salt. And I went, what? You know, I peeked up. I was like, whoa, wait, what? You're going to what? And I said, well, the scripture says, and of course, I went into Bible man mode, okay? But I said, the scripture says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for correction, for encouragement, for rebuke. You know, that's things we don't like, but it is there to rebuke us. Did you know that? And to give us a guide as a direction to go. The scripture says in the Old Testament that the word is what? It's a lamp to our feet and a light to our what? Path. The Bible is, I mean, you could go through, if you studied the history of it, which I have done, it's because we had a class on it in Bible college, but I mean, it is absolutely sustained through, I mean, the devil has tried everything he can to get rid of the word of God, and it's still the number one selling book in all the world. You know what I mean? Nothing's changed. And I thought, now this gentleman is a Christian guy. And I thought, well, where are we at as the church? Well, the culture pushes on us. Did you know that? The culture wants to, the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you look up the definition of that word conform, it has to do with pressure and forming and making you and molding you into what it wants. So in the midst of that, what the writer of the epistle said is, look, you need to take this and fight back. Now, that doesn't mean you need to stand up in someone's face and, you know, this is not a fist fight, but it's a spiritual fight and it's a faith fight. And there's only one way for a Christian to fight in faith, and that's to know this, to understand it and apply it, to allow the Word of God to govern what we think, what we say, and what we do. And then, not only that, you're not just learning this so that you know it. You're learning it so you can practice it and teach it to your kids. The scripture says that Christians are the what? The salt of the earth. What does salt do? Salt preserves, correct? Salt keeps things. You know, before we had freezers and refrigerators and all that stuff, they would salt meat and have a salt air so that what? So the meat wouldn't go bad. What if we lose our saltiness? Now, people think, well, you know, the world's going down. The world won't go down until we get unsalty. Now, though, it's going to get dark, but who cares? You got the light. Some of you are like, I'm not sure if I agree with that. I'm pretty sure I agree with that. You've got the light. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fear. Yeah, but what about my kids? Teach them about the fearless one. Teach them that the fearless one lives in them. Yeah, but what if nuclear warfare happens? You know, I think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego experienced that. I mean, the fire was so hot that soldiers melted while they were shoving them in. And yet, they just danced in the middle of the fire. We don't have to be afraid. Yeah, but there's so many things going on in the world. Yeah, and Jesus said, rejoice. In this, yeah, for I've overcome the world. You think about it. He said what? In this life, you will have what? Trials, right? Trouble, right? But what? Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Well, that doesn't make any sense to my head. This doesn't make sense. It makes faith. Think about it, right? This gives us principle for life. And you can study the history of it. You can look down through history. Every person that has taken this seriously has turned the world upside down. It always works. I have an end times guy that I like to listen to. And some end times stuff is just fear, 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 fear. I refuse to listen to it, okay? Because Jesus didn't come to give me a spirit of fear. And the book of Revelation, it says it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. So if it's a revelation of Jesus Christ, I can't get a bunch of fear out of it. I got to get some faith out of it. So there's this particular minister that I listen to. His name is Irvin Baxter. If you want to look him up, you can. It's End Times Ministries or something like that. Anyway, so his name is Irvin Baxter, and he's talking about the book. I have a series that I listen to. I think it's 14 parts, and it's all in the book of Revelation. But it's interesting because one of the things that he says over and over and over again is he says, the prophecies of the Bible never fail. The prophecies of the Bible never fail. The prophecies of the Bible never fail. And then he'll make a statement about something that he reads in the Bible. He'll correlate it to modern day. And he'll say, look, this is going to happen because the Bible says it's going to happen. And so he is resting everything that he believes on what? The Bible. Now, people do this. Think with me. I know I haven't gotten into the message yet, but somebody needs this. All right? Now, listen to me. People do this. They'll put all their trust for their afterlife in Jesus and then ignore everything he addressed while that applies to you here on earth. Don't do that. Don't do that. Yes, trust the Lord about when you die, when you leave your body, and when you go to be with him. Of course, Jesus is the access to heaven. But listen, God doesn't just want to get you to heaven. He wants to get heaven here to you on earth. Amen. I mean, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says this, Jesus Christ, the what? Same yesterday, today, forever. Who he was on the earth is who he is right now. You can smile about that. He's good. He's not mad, he's glad. He's not sad, he's got joy. And he's got peace. So don't be afraid about gas prices. Let them go up and down. You know? People are like, well, the earth is heating up. No, it's not. And even if it did, come on. The scripture says, even if the mountains fall into the sea, I'll not be afraid. Why? He's with me. Yeah, but San Andreas Fault. Let her go. You're saved. You're all right. Yeah, but what if the economy goes south? Jesus, you know, I don't have any money. Jesus went fishing and found gold in a fish's mouth. Well, what are we going to do? Listen, he made a bunch of quail fly over the Israelites and then just went and killed them all. And they just, and they had quail. Well, they had no bread. Yeah, well, he just rained manna out of heaven. People are like, I hope not. I get the same bread at the same supermarket every 2 weeks. You say, what are you saying, John? Listen, trust the Lord and let your blood pressure go down. Okay? Trust the Lord. You say, my blood pressure is low. Let it go up. But what I'm saying is, relax. God's got you. He loves you. The scripture says he didn't withhold his son. So what else is he going to withhold from you? Nothing. He just went ahead and gave the best right off the bat so you wouldn't have to worry about anything else. I got an amen from the amen section. He's like, move it on, brother. It's time to move on. James chapter 1, verse 21 says this, get rid of all uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word which implanted and rooted in your hearts contains the power to save your soul. And then he says this, but be doers of the word, obey the message, and not merely listeners to it, betraying or deceiving yourself. Let's skip down to verse 25. But he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, and is faithful to it, and perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer. Somebody say active doer. Who obeys, he shall be what? Blessed in his doing. So one of the things that we want to emphasize to you is that as you hear the scriptures, don't just think in terms of, yeah, I know that one. Think in terms of how am I going to apply this to what I think, say, and do. Okay, on a day-to-day basis, if you go over to Galatians chapter 5, and don't turn there, but if you look at it later, think about it, look at it, talks about the fruit of the Spirit in the last part of the chapter. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, correct? Okay, so it says that, so don't just think, yeah, that's the fruit of the Spirit, and that's what I have. No, think of it in terms of I have love, joy, and peace when my kids are going nuts. So how am I going to let love, joy, and peace dominate my mind, which will then come out of my mouth, which will then navigate itself to the rest of my body? How am I going to act in such a way that allows the Word of God to become interactive in what I do on a daily basis? How am I going to let it integrate itself into me? Because when I do, then what happens? I am blessed. People think they're automatically blessed because they know the scripture, and that's false. The scripture doesn't teach that. People say, well, we need to read our Bible. We do need to read our Bible. It helps to keep it in front of our face constantly. But unless you're going to do what you hear, you're going to remain the same. Does that make sense? Okay, now, I could take you to a couple of scriptures on that, and probably later on I'll do a series on that about the importance of the word and the integrity of the word. But for now, just keep thinking in your mind, okay, what I hear today, I'm going to apply this week. or what I read in my devotion time where I'm reading my Bible at home, I'm going to apply this today. And you know how, what makes it easy is find one part of the scripture that you read that really stuck out to you and just keep it in front of you all day long. If you got to write it on a piece of card, write it on a little 3x5 card and keep it with you. If you got to put it on your mirror in the morning, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you, while you're fixing your face and your hair in the morning when you wake up, brushing your teeth, just look at it and say it. And keep it in front of you. Why? Because you are a representation of Christ in the earth. And you want to have the blessing on your life, but not only that, you want to show him to those around you. So that's where that comes in. All right, let's go over to James chapter 4. So if you just flip over a couple of pages, I'm going to read this in a different translation. I found it in the Passion Translation, which I like. And this is going to be our golden text for this series on worship. And then we're going to go to Genesis chapter 22. And we're going to stop there, talking about Abraham. But it says this in James 4, verse 6. I'm going to start there. It says, "But he who continues to pour out more and more grace upon us." It says, "For it says, God resists you when you are proud, but he continually pours out grace when you are humble. So then, surrender to God. Stand up to the devil." Notice it doesn't say run away in fear. "Stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will turn and run away from you." He will do what? He will turn and run away from you. "Move your heart closer and closer to God." Now think about that. Move your heart. Your translation probably says something like, draw near to God. This translation says, move your heart closer and closer to God. Move your heart closer and closer to God. You say, why do you keep emphasizing that? That is worship. That is the beginning of worship, okay? "And he will come even closer to you." And in one of the subnotes in the Bible that I got this out of, the Passion Translation, it says he will come so close that he'll be touching you. Is really what that means. Move closer and closer to God. Don't move further away from him. Allow your heart to move closer and closer to him. And then he says this, "But make sure that you cleanse your life, you sinners, and keep your heart pure and stop doubting. Feel the pain of your sin, be sorrowful and weep. Let your joking around be turned into mourning and your joy into deep humiliation. Be willing to be made low before the Lord, and he will exalt you." You say, what do you mean? God doesn't want us to joke around? Well, these people were joking around in sin. They weren't joking around. They weren't having this is not the joy of the Lord. He's not telling them, no, don't have the joy of the Lord. He's saying, look, you guys should not be taking pleasure in death. Okay? Because sin equals death. The wages of sin is death, correct? So don't participate in that. Repent of that. Walk away from that. Participate in me. Humble yourself. Agree with me. And I will lift you up. I will lift you up. You know, I used to think I had fun before I was saved. And then I got saved. I was like, I was not having fun. This is fun. This is exciting. You know, Christians are like, I'm bored. Share your faith with your neighbor sometime. You will quit being bored. Go find somebody on the street and say, hey, do you know Jesus loves you? It will get exciting quick. You'll know that people are like, I don't want to do that. Well, study the scriptures on not being afraid and then go do it. Because why? Because God wants to lift you up. As you submit to him, he'll lift you up. Oh man, that's good. So it has to do with, this will have to do with, you'll see as we move into this, that this has to do with worship. All right, let's define worship. So if you want to write the word worship down, the Hebrew word, because I know you care about this, is shaka. It's spelled S-H-A-C-H-A-H, but it's pronounced shaka, okay? Now, there are a couple of words for worship, but this is the one we're going to talk about today. Basically, worship means this, to bow yourself down, to crouch, to humble yourself. It means to bow down, to prostrate, or to fall down flat. Now, You say, why do you give me that? Because a lot of times in our culture and our modern way of thinking, people think worship is a slow song. And they think praise is a fast song. We're going to praise and worship. You know that what people think? Oh, that means we're going to jump around first, and then the music's going to slow down, and then we're all going to close our eyes and lift our hands, and the worship leader is going to sing a slow song now. Now, music does have a lot to do with worship. That's why it's important that we listen to good music, okay? Because it's feeding you. There's a part of you that is, it's geared toward music. It has a great effect. But worship, if we really want a definition, we have to go back and look at what the Bible calls it. And worship here has nothing to do, there's no mention of any singing here. It has to do with you crouching yourself, bowing down, or we would say submitting to one who's above you. Submitting to one who's above you. Say, well, where does this fit in? Go back to the verses we just read in James. He said what? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. In other words, worship God. Don't worship the devil. Worship God, and when you do, you'll resist the enemy, and he'll flee from you. In other words, you are bowing down. You are prostrating yourself before God. Or you're saying this, you're God and I'm not. You say, well, everybody knows that. Really? You really think that we are submitting to God in every area? We'll see. We'll get into it. The reason why I'm excited about this is because if you allow the Word of God, like we just read, to implant in your heart, and you really practice it, I mean, what can open up to you is God Himself. You know, God doesn't just, he isn't like, well, I'm going to really bless this person, but not this person. He's an equal opportunity employer. Or we could say, he's an equal opportunity to those who have faith. He responds to faith. And how does faith come? By hearing the word. So what happens? That word gets implanted in you. You begin to understand worship. I mean, I'm telling you, even if it's just during the song time or just during the week, you will learn how to submit to God and exalt him rather than yourself and make decisions based on what he wants you to do. And what happens is the blessing of heaven just opens up to you. Do you know there are passages in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, where the church, the collective body, those who love God came together, and it says that the presence of God so filled the place. In the Old Testament, it says they couldn't even stand to worship. I wonder if God's there if we're all pasted on the floor. Somebody would try to get up. I can't get up. I can't get up. You say, well, that sounds weird. Listen, read your Bible. Well, you know, that's not for us today. No, God didn't die when the apostles did. Let it sink in. Think about it. What do you mean? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, what should be going on inside of you right now is hope. Oh, yeah. He's alive. Yeah, he didn't die. I mean, Jesus died, right. But he was raised from the dead. He's alive today. He's not dead. He's alive. He's the same. It's interesting because this will test your heart to see how much you want of him. You get this opportunity that will present itself. And you'll go, what was the example that Jesus gave us? He said what? I only do what I see the Father do. And I only say what I hear the Father say. People go, well, yeah, but that was Jesus. But he was sent as an example to us. Yes, he's our Savior. Yes, he's God. Yes, he is the Son of God. But he was sent as our example. And so, don't just rule it out. Study the scripture. Look at it. See if it's there. This was some of these things that I'm sharing with you right now are the things that delivered me out of partying. Smoking weed. Like a chimney. You know what I mean? I mean, it helped me. Because I realized, wait a minute. He's actually here? this is actually real. So everything that I'm doing trying to ease the pain isn't necessary because he'll actually heal it. And then, and of course, now this was 19 years ago. And so I've been going gangbusters ever since. Why? Because I realized, oh, we're going to make it. He's got a plan for my life. I told you last week, I graduated high school with a 2.45 grade point average. I mean, that's not Harvard material. You know what I mean? Harvard was not beating on my door. Yeah, we want to give you the presidential scholarship. For what? Partying? You know what I mean? That wasn't, there was nobody in the, it's not that I felt necessarily worthless, but what God was saying was, Sean, I can do something with you if you let me. And so what did I have to choose to do? I had to go, okay, Lord, I'm going to bow to you and let you have my life. I'm going to give you the opportunity to see what I can do with your life. If you'll yield to me and worship me, I will take you places and do things with you you never thought would be possible. I'll do it with you. You say, well, that's neat for you, Sean. Listen, the plan is for you too. You can have, your life can be a mess, and when God gets in it, it can just all settle down. You know, I've watched this through the years because I've ministered to a lot of different people. We can go to Genesis chapter 22. Through the years of ministry, you get opportunities. You see people, and after a while, you begin to see patterns in the way people live. And I heard a minister talk about this, but then I saw it firsthand too. You know, there are some people that were raised in such chaos that they don't know any other way. And so even when they're delivered from chaos, they'll try and go find it because it feels normal to them. Isn't that interesting? I always thought that was interesting because it didn't feel normal. They didn't realize that if you didn't fight like four times a week, that was normal. There are some people that have been raised in and have backgrounds or homes where, man, if somebody didn't get in a fist fight at least once a week, something was wrong. You know, not everybody's like that. But that happens to people, and what begins to happen? It begins to feel normal. And then I've watched them step out of that situation, maybe give their life to the Lord or get away from a chaotic situation, but yet they'll look for chaos in their new place. And I'm going, Why do you do that? And it's just conditioned. They're like, this is what feels normal to me. So when you first give your life to the Lord, when you first begin to follow his precepts, sometimes it feels like, wait a minute, shouldn't something be going on? You know, God can come and the Lord, he could just sit in a room with you and not say anything for 30 minutes straight and just be at total peace. And you can too. You don't have to be stressed. The peace of the Lord is for you. If you have the fruit of the Spirit, which is peace, don't just let your mind run all over the place. It's your mind. Control it. Well, how do I control it? With your mouth. Say what he said. You ever had a thought go through your mind over and over and over and over, and it won't go away? It's like, go away. Would you just go away? You know what most people do? Lord, please make the thought go away. That's not how you fight it. God's not going to make the thought go away because, see, God's already done everything he is going to do about the devil. You have to stand up and resist him. Right? We just read it in James, didn't we? Submit to God, and who resists the devil? You do. Well, you're never going to make it. This isn't going to work. It'll never work. You stand up and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, but what if the thought comes again? I can do all things through Christ. Can I ask you something? How did Jesus whip the devil? Do you remember that? Remember Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted? And what did Jesus do over and over again? It is written. It is written. Trust me. Do it. Trust the Lord. He said it. Do it. It will work. He will watch over his word and perform it. Pretty soon, you'll be going along in your day and you realize, wait a minute. I haven't had a depressed thought in a long time. Yeah. Yeah, because God has given you that ability in him. All right, let's take a look at this worship. Genesis chapter 22. I'm going to wrap up here shortly. It says this, verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God did what? He tested Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham? And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love." This is like Lord's like rubbing it in. "And go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Verse 5 says this, "And Abraham said to his young men," these are the servants, "stay here with the donkey and the lad." "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go over yonder and" what? "Worship, and we will come back to you." Okay? Verse 6, "So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, 'My father,'" can you imagine? Now think about this. Imagine this conversation going on. "And he said, 'Here am I, my son.' Then he said, 'Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" In other words, okay, dad, what's going on here, man? All right? And so he says, and verse 8 says, "And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering.' So the two of them went together, and they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But what happened? The angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' He said, 'Here am I.'" Here I am. You know, Abraham was glad to hear his name called. "And he said, 'Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him.'" For what? Verse 12 here. What does he say? "For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Now, think about what worship is. Worship is what? It's bowing down. It's laying your life before. You're submitting to someone above you. Now, when I read this, I thought, "Lord, I don't want to teach that." You know what I mean? You're not a child killer. But when we read that, but you got to think of it. And I just felt like the Holy Spirit was dealing with me. He said, "Sean, don't just think of it in terms of physical. Think of it in terms of the motivation of the heart." Okay? Now let me say this clearly. God is not going to tell anybody to kill their kid ever. Okay? That is not what we're teaching. All right? That is not what's going on here. But what is going on is that there is an opportunity for Abraham to prove where God ranks in his heart. See, this is worship. You say, "What do you mean? Do you think Abraham loved Isaac?" He was barren. Sarah was barren. They had no kids of their own. And what was the promise of God to Abraham? "You'll have a son," right? I mean, do you think that a couple who couldn't have kids, you ever met a couple that couldn't have kids? I mean, they tried everything. But then even if they end up adopting a child, how much do they love that kid? I mean, they love that kid, you know? And so you look at that and you think about this. Abraham is not like just, this is not like, "Oh yeah, okay. We're going to go kill Isaac. Come on, let's go. Get the wood, get the donkey. You two servants come with me." He's having to fight with this. In other words, he's having to choose. Who will have the highest place in my heart? Will the blessing that the Lord gave me have the highest place? Or will God himself? And this is worship. You say, people have difficulty with this. You know why? Because we're human. This is where we live. We're on planet Earth. But I'm telling you, if you read the rest of that chapter, the Lord says, "Look, I know you fear me now, And he said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to multiply you. Not only that, did God have him kill Isaac? No. And he wouldn't have. What was he doing? He was testing his heart. He was testing his heart. Sometimes God will lead you through stuff and it'll feel like, I'm about to lose everything. Nope. If you still got God, you got everything. I'm not telling you he's going to destroy your life. He didn't destroy Abraham's. He brought more to him. You say, okay, you saw that. Good. All right. Think about it this way. What can he do through you if you give him that place of worship in your life? You say, what do you mean, what can he do through me? God's not just done. God didn't just use Abraham and go, okay, I'm done. I'm done using people. What can he do through you if you submit to him? What is he willing to do through you? If he was willing to do what he did through Abraham, you say, why is the story of Abraham so important? You wouldn't have Jesus if Abraham didn't do that. Do you see what's going on here? There was a contract made, a covenant made. Abraham said, look, I'm willing to give you my son. And you know what that means when you're in covenant? Now Abraham can look to God and go, I want your son. Think about it. Through the faith of Abraham, Jesus was able to come to the earth to gain access. You remember Adam and Eve sold out, right? What did Adam and Eve do? They gave control of the planet over to who? Satan, right? So how is God going to get back in? He's got to get through a man. Satan got through. See, man had control of the planet. They had authority. God told him, you're in control of this thing, subdue it. They let Satan in. Now Satan's in control. Now what? Well, he doesn't want God in. In fact, he kept God out so well, God had to put Noah and a few boys in the ark and flood the thing out and start over. That's the redneck version, okay? There is a detailed version in the Bible if you want to look it up. All right? But you understand what I'm saying. So then what did God do? He said, look, I want to get back into the earth, but I need a man who will have some faith and obey me. And Abraham said, okay, I'll do it. And he gives us the example of worship. So every day when Abraham woke up, it's, okay, Lord, what are we doing today? Okay, Lord, how can I give to you? How can I submit? How can I lower and set aside my plan and bow to yours? Because as I do, then I know you have access to my world. And it's not just a blessing. I mean, you look at the blessing. It says, multiplying, I will multiply you, and blessing, I will bless you. He said, I'll give you the gate of your enemies. I'll tread your enemies under your feet. You are going to be blessed. And all it says, all the nations of the earth will be blessed in you. You know, God wants to bless nations through you. Do you know here he's doing it? Because if you're giving, we're giving to another nation. See, it's already begun. It's just a matter of the level that we will submit to him. And as we do, then he can do more.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.